It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Centering pass, McDavid scores! Connor McDavid wins it for Canada! And Jordan Binnington has done it again!
Welcome back. Hour 2 of Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Razor Raycroft, Bridget Peru, and Jacob Lassiter behind the glass. That is how the Four Nations face-off ended, with Connor McDavid scoring in overtime. Team USA, unfortunately, leaving him wide open in the slot.
Bold strategy. Really bold strategy.
had basically completely shut him down for 68 minutes.
He was so good. Austin Matthews was, until.
I know.
Yeah, he had been someone that we were like, okay, in the championship game, Austin Matthews could reach another level, right? And he gets 2 assists, and he's involved in, you know, both the goals that USA scores, and then he gets drawn into, you know, chasing the puck a little bit, and Connor McDavid is just wide open in the slot. And I thought that the U.S. defense looked, especially a few guys like Jacob Slavin, looked really solid during the tournament, and they slowed McDavid down quite a bit in that championship game. But then when he finds himself open like that, it's like, I didn't even need to see where the puck went. I knew once he got it, it was going in the back of the net. It's like, you see him get it there and you're like, oh, it's over. I don't even need to see the next few seconds. I know it's over.
Well, and unfortunately, like, again, we mentioned right off the top, like, how narrow the margin was. Your superstar scorer, Austin Matthews, had couple great chances, didn't bury it. Connor McDavid gets his one great chance and buries it. And it's like, yeah, that's it.
Smiling away now.
No, I'm smiling because it's so funny because I'm looking forward to, at some point we're going to see that goal a million times, and you're going to look back and you're going to want to know the icing call before that caused all of that to happen. And unfortunately for Austin Matthews, in his defense a little bit, he was stuck out there with Jack Hughes. And that's not a good defensive matchup either. Like, Matthews was playing with Tkachuk. Like, it wasn't his normal line.
And it wasn't the defenseman the U.S. wanted. It was
not at all.
Noah Hanifin and Adam Fox.
Correct.
Which had been relegated to third pairing duties.
Which
they wanted Slavin and Faber out there every time against McDavid.
That's right. Which means every defensive zone faceoff was Matthews or Eichel and Slavin and Faber. Like, that without even thinking about it. And that makes Austin Matthews possibly need to go to Marner because Fox is a little behind. He doesn't think he gets there. There's a miscommunication.
Took a bad route. Like, I don't know why he goes around the net like that.
But. Correct. And there's a whole thing there, right? And it just changes. If Faber and Slavin are out there, I promise you that, like, the whole thing. So there's, like, a bunch of pieces adding on to it, and Austin's the one that takes it on the chin. So, but I'm smiling about it because if you go back, right, the 2010 game, I mean, I know you guys are young and you know.
I remember. You know what's funny? So I was talking to Jacob about this last year, last week before the show, and, like, I remember it very well. I was in college at the time.
Yeah.
And Jacob's like, yeah, I don't really remember that game. 2014 was like the first Olympics I remember.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, so on. Ridiculous.
Well, this was really
keep
the first.
Keep your mouth shut, Jacob.
Yeah, Jake. No, I'm just kidding. We like Jake. That one I remember really well. That was the Zach Parise ties it with 2.5 seconds left, and Sidney Crosby scores to win in overtime. And I will be completely honest with you. I was rooting for USA unless Sidney Crosby scored the game winner. And he did. So I was the only one in my house that was happy, and everybody else was mad at me.
So go back to that goal. All right, this is the point, was if you go back to that goal, 10 seconds before, Canada dumps the puck in on Ryan Miller. And it's right in between, right on a thin line where he could have got in behind it, corralled it, covered it, played it, moved it behind the net. But instead, it's just on the outside in real time that he steers it into the corner. And I always wonder, whenever I see the play, I wonder if he covers it, if he changes it, does that change everything in the entire hockey world? Does Sidney not score? Like, the butterfly effect of plays. And that'll be the icing for this call, this play, is you go back to that icing. I guarantee you, if we go back and watch that play, the icing, the 3 seconds before the icing, there's a play in there somewhere that a guy needed to chip it in deep. Or there's a give. Whatever that is will be kind of similar to how I look at the Sidney Crosby goal in 2010. And I always think of Ryan Miller and wonder if how much he wishes he had have just covered that up, turned a stick over, played the puck, rimmed it, done it differently. So if anyone wants to think about how a crazy person thinks of hockey, go back and look at that goal in 2010 and how things change.
Even the icing itself, like, Jack Hughes is right there, like, almost looks like he has a chance to beat it out. And in real time, like, it didn't look to me like he was going all out. And maybe it's late in a shift, he's tired, I don't know. But
he,
like,
I was unimpressed by him.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering if, you know, does he have regrets after of, like, man, what if I had just dug a little deeper and found that extra push for those last two strides to try to beat that out? Yep.
I find in high-pressure, best-on-best hockey situations, let's say like a Game 7 in overtime in any playoff series in the NHL, all it takes is one mistake in order for the other team to score. And that's what Canada got with that icing call there. And it's happened so many times throughout the NHL's history.
Yeah, and the U.S. was big-time outplaying Canada in the beginning part of overtime. And Jordan Binnington is the reason why they were able to fight for as long as they did. Because Binnington made a few really key saves at the beginning of overtime when the U.S. had the momentum and they were driving towards the net. And obviously, goaltending was going to be a big factor in it. We thought Hellebuyck was the better goalie, but Binnington, for whatever reason, at TD Garden seems to just feast and have
Boston's public enemy number one
for
again.
For real. He, like, you asked him about it, Scott, and he was, like, smirking at you, like, yeah, they don't like me here. No, we don't.
He is nails. Man, oh, man.
I know. That was Canada's biggest question going into the tournament, was goaltending. And I thought even through a couple games it was still a question.
Oh, it was. They were ready to put him on a stake. After the Finland game, when Finland came back, they were ready. Like, Trey put it, Hill. I don't know how many phone calls or the random shows that I had to go on last week were asking, would you put Aiden Hill in the final? Like, right up to the warm-ups, they were calling for Aiden Hill. And
I heard it in the press box.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, they're vultures up there, as you can tell. Well, Canadian media in the press box, they're pretty good up there.
I found out, I now understand why the Toronto Maple Leafs hate the media.
Oh, my God, they're awful.
I got hit in the face with microphones, cameras. Guy asked me if he could use my shoulder as a tripod, and I said, no, I have a bad ACL. Like, I'm going to fall over. He goes, okay, well, I'm just going to stand in front of you then. And I was like, no, you're not. Yeah. It was not having the Canadian media.
No, they're
media.
Hyenas.
I thought I was going to have to start 3 fights in 9 seconds when we got into the post-game press conference because I was I'm glad they left town. I'll just put it that way. I thought Canadians were really polite. Sorry. No, they wanted to use me as a tripod.
And they prank called the Jones and Keefe show the other day, too.
Did they really?
Yeah. Yeah,
no way, really?
A Montreal radio host called in under the alias of Curly in Boston.
It was, is it Tony Marinaro?
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that was good. That was pretty funny, actually.
That is funny.
Yeah, so bigger picture, though. Obviously, this tournament was massive. Did huge ratings. Over 9 million viewers for the championship game in the U.S., I think it was over 16 million in North America total. The most watched hockey game in the U.S. since that 2010 gold medal game, which, by the way, if you want to take account of like the fact that there's another level to this, that gold medal game got 27 million. So this tournament was huge. Thursday night's game was massive. That 2010 Olympic gold medal game did triple the ratings. Like,
yeah.
So there's still an even higher level for this to get to. But first best-on-best international tournament in 9 years. Still crazy to me that we had to go that long without it. But what can this do for hockey? And how well does this set up this plan that Hockey Now has going forward of Olympics next year, World Cup of Hockey 2 years after that, and ideally rotating every 2 years from there?
Well, it's going to, they are going to lean into this Winter Olympics like we've never seen before. And it will, if by some miracle you could get Canada, U.S. in the finals of that, you're staring at 30 right off the bat,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like they are going to, it's going to be, If they're lucky enough to still have the tariffs in place and the whole thing, like then it's really like Cold War type stuff.
Or maybe they'll be the 51st state by then.
Yeah.
Just kidding,
yeah, that's
just
right.
Kidding.
Yeah, you're going to get hate mail for
totally
that for sure.
Kidding.
I didn't say anything. It had nothing to do with that,
but,
folks.
Yeah. I kid. It's just ridiculous. But if it's U.S. Canada, that's what TV wants, and that's what we all want, I think. I mean, obviously, well, Russia's not in it again, and...
Well, they might be. We don't know yet.
Yeah,
hasn't been a ruling.
20 for next year
for Olympics.
Yeah. I thought they were ruled out already.
No, that can be changed. It's the Olympics. Are you kidding me? That's the most corrupt thing going.
Yeah,
the Olympics
and
FIFA. The day before the Olympics, they might.
So
let
what happened is the IIHF ruled Russia out of IIHF tournaments for next season, but the Olympics are a separate IOC decision because that'll be. Either like that'll be every sport. Like either Russia is allowed to compete as Russia, or they have to do the united athlete thing,
or they don't show the flag,
or they're out completely. So like there's kind of three ways for it to go.
Yeah, the
and they haven't
ROC,
decided
the Russian
yes, that's
Olympic
right.
Committee yeah. or whatever, rather than Russia itself.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I was listening to NHL radio yesterday, and this will be the interesting point 3 years from now when they do this Four Nations again, is the logistics of a bigger tournament. What was the concern going into this was how there's only four teams is probably what made it work so well.
Right, because you got your two USA-Canada matches
correct.
4 days apart.
And
I would argue there should have been fewer teams. It should have just been seven games series against US and Canada.
And you were able to have everybody in Montreal together, everybody in Boston together. That builds everything. You know, the media is able to cover all the stories, etc. When you go to more teams, you have to be in two separate places for the majority of the tournament, and then you come together at the end. You can't take 3 weeks off the season to have the traveling circus go from three different cities with everybody playing. So you're going to have to spread out. The logistics get a lot harder with two, maybe four more teams in the Four Nations, and that's what's going to be interesting. And can they capture the same intensity of the games because every game mattered in this four-team tournament rather than an eight-team tournament where you're going to have a couple of games off like you did maybe even Monday night.
And
that's going to take away.
Like the drop-off in talent that some of the other teams that would be added would have. Like Czech Republic should be decent, but like there is going to be a drop off if it's eight teams compared to U.S., Canada, yeah, like, Finland, Sweden. Like
you want to have Germany because you want Leon Draisaitl in, but the rest of that team is not really going to compete.
Yeah, and they might do a Team Europe or something instead of that.
Which I like.
I think it's a little gimmicky. I'm not really a fan,
I like it just because I like when it's best on best, like concentrating the best players on teams is what I enjoy.
So you could do for the sake of doing this now, which is kind of fun. You could have the four teams. You have Russia, that's five. You have Czech, which is six. Then you go young guns, all the young stars, and then you go Team Europe. So that gives you the eight teams that will get basically all NHL players in the tournament. Basically, that covers everybody. Because you could do Team Europe will grab all the younger guys, the Leo, whoever doesn't make Team Sweden, Team Finland. And then the North American side, you would have the team that was in 2016 of the Celebrinis, the Bedards, the et cetera, et cetera. So that was asked of me what I thought of that, and that kind of made sense. To be able to get to eight teams, that's kind of the best way to do it, to your point, and not have too much of a drop-off, but still have Leon Draisaitl in it, etc.
David Pastrnak,
So we got four nations on the table. We're talking Bruins. We can get back into them, talk trade deadline.
We want to talk about Charlie McAvoy.
Yes.
Got to get to that.
You can give us a call, 617-779-7937. Text us at the same number. Jacob has you trending, and then we'll be back with more Sunday Skate.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. Scott McLaughlin here with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Prue. Let's go to the phones to start this segment and take Joe in Rhode Island. What's up, Joe?
Joe.
Is Joe there? All right, let's put Joe on hold and circle back. But we were talking about Four Nations. His call was going to be about Four Nations. Obviously, for the Bruins, the biggest story that comes out of this is that Charlie McAvoy gets hurt. And there's this whole debacle about how it was handled, where the Bruins put out two statements on back-to-back days, one from the head team physician. Pretty clear just from reading the statements that they weren't very happy with how it was handled. But then you get a report from Elliot Friedman on top of that, making it, you know, even more explicit that they're very unhappy with.
Yeah, and he also said there's more to come. Like, this is absolutely just the beginning of the story, that there's more information that's going to come out, and maybe we get it today because Don Sweeney is talking in, you know, about 2 hours.
I'm definitely going to be interested to see, like, does Don Sweeney go in? You know, does he actually share how he feels about this, or does he try to play nice and, you know, for the sake of everyone, bury it and move on? You know, like you said, we're going to find out here in a couple hours. But what we've learned is he got injured in the Finland game, in the first game. We all assume it was the play where Joel Armia hits him from behind into the post. He was clearly grabbing at his shoulder, which is what the injury was. It was a shoulder AC joint injury. And then we find out on Monday that on top of that, he has an infection and ends up admitted to Mass General, needs to get that treated. We see him join Team USA before Thursday night's game in the locker room, reads the starting lineup, has his arm in a sling. Bruins, in their statement, called it a significant AC joint injury. So that would lead me to believe that, you know, it's not just short term, a couple games. But there's no timetable as of now. So,
and they normally don't include like a describing word like significant. Like they normally would just say AC joint injury. Like the fact that that word was put in there was meaningful, purposeful.
It was a lot more information than we usually get.
We don't even get AC joint.
Yeah.
We
no.
get upper body.
Just get
injury.
Upper body. Yeah. But so Razor, what do you make of all this? Like, is there anything the Bruins can do, or is it this just was a really crappy situation, and unfortunately now they're without one of their best players?
Well, there's nothing you're going to do that like helps the situation or the team right now, right? Like but what it will do, I'm sure the protocol for this tournament and for tournaments going forward will definitely change, and there's going to be a lot of mandates made of how players are injured, where they go, who's in charge,
how quickly you notify,
are you telling teams, do all team doctors have to be on call for an ability to go to wherever that player is right away? There's actually not a set team doctor for Team USA. Like, there's a lot of different ways this is going to go, and I'm sure it's not going to end up being just the Bruins. There's other injuries that have been had in this tournament that when they go back to their teams might be saying, this was not done the proper way, or not happy.
Matthew Tkachuk is out for Florida right now.
Correct. Brady didn't play last night. Like, so there's things that I'm sure this will lead to, this will lead to different ways of thinking how players go out and compete for their teams internationally. How that helps the Bruins right now, I don't think there's anything there. It's not like the team's going to give them compensation. They're not getting money or draft picks or something like that.
Definitely, like, it's just not. It's just more, I mean, to shed light on maybe they're clearly frustrated with how it was handled. So maybe to shed light on the situation so it doesn't happen in a tournament coming up.
I'm sure they've had a phone call with the
one thing know. Elliot Friedman mentioned was the possibility of going to independent doctors where it's not. So in this case, Team USA general manager Bill Guerin brought the Minnesota Wild's team doctors, which makes sense, right? Like, he's the guy in charge of the team. He's going to bring his team's doctors. The idea would be, don't use any NHL team doctors. Use independent doctors. If it's the Olympics, maybe it's U.S. Olympic Committee doctors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something different than team doctors, because in this case, there's also an added layer where the Bruins and Wild have had an issue before, where the Bruins last year traded for Pat Maroon, who was rehabbing a back injury at the time, had started skating in Minnesota before the trade. gets here, the Bruins take a look at him, decide he shouldn't be skating, and next thing you know, he's off the ice for like 3 weeks and ends up making his debut, his Bruins debut, much later than I think everyone initially anticipated.
And then there's the extra layer on top of the extra layer that Don Sweeney is the general manager of Team Canada, who are competing head-to-head for that. So there's so many conflicts that they're going to have to work through and find a way to diminish those conflicts going forward for the sake of the players and for the sake of these teams. Because again, this is bigger than general managers talking to each other. This goes all the way to the very, very, very top. When owners don't have their $9 million players in the lineups, they aren't necessarily happy. So there'll be a lot of chatter on that, but we're going to learn a lot, I would expect, from Don this afternoon.
And what it sounds like is that both Matt Tkachuk and Charlie McAvoy played knowing that they had an injury, but maybe they weren't evaluated correctly. Or in the case of Tkachuk,
maybe it was left in the player's hands. Yeah, which they're never going to say, I'll sit.
Tkachuk was like, I'm playing. I am playing, even though, you know, it seems to have a lower body injury that he may have incurred during the first USA-Canada game. And I hear the argument, oh, well, he's better on the bench than having Kyle Connor in. Like, even just his emotional lift on the bench is worth having him in there, even if he can't play. And it's like, they could have used another player that could have scored in that game. So I don't necessarily agree with that. And he obviously starts out the game playing a normal shift, and then he gets lower and lower and lower. And then he's not playing at all in the third. He's not playing in overtime. He was a huge player for you in the first meeting, but he also didn't finish that game. So they knew that he was injured then. We got told that the practice that he missed, the first practice in Boston that he missed, was illness, which maybe he also was sick, as some guys were. But that wasn't the reason he didn't practice. The main reason was because he was trying to recover from this injury. And it sounds like Charlie McAvoy played through the AC joint injury and had a massive game against Canada. That's the crazy Saturday, you know, infamous game that I think we're all going to remember for a long time. And he was a monster in that game, but he was playing injured. And that obviously could have made it even worse. So it would be the wrong thing to put it in the player's hands, because they're making an emotional decision. Charlie McAvoy was crying when he read the starters. He was devastated that he couldn't be in the lineup. And I'm sure Tkachuk wouldn't have let you, even if he was missing a leg, keep him out of the lineup if it was up to him.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely an element there of, you know, does one of the adults in the room step in and say, hey, we appreciate the passion, but, you know, you're not playing. And obviously, in both of those cases, it didn't happen.
And unfortunately for the Bruins, like, they're at the center of this. And it was always something that every team worries about. And probably one of the reasons why Quinn Hughes didn't end up going and replacing, it's like he's kind of already coming back from injury.
Sidney Crosby was iffy until Kenneth stepped on the ice for their first practice up in Montreal. Uh-huh. There were questions about whether he was going to be able to go. And in that case, like, I think the fact that Pittsburgh isn't really in it probably helped, made it more palatable for him to play for Canada. Whereas Quinn Hughes, like, Vancouver's fighting for their playoff lives, you do have to consider what you're doing with the Canucks, with the team that's paying you $10 million or whatever Quinn Hughes makes. Like, you know, if you go play for U.S. and make it worse, now you're really hurting the Vancouver Canucks and potentially, like, derailing the rest of their season. So, another direction I want to take this, because I've heard this is, well, could you now you have teams like the Bruins, Panthers, dealing with these injuries at such a critical stretch of the season. Can you fix that or combat it by moving a tournament like this back to preseason? Like, the 2016 World Cup of Hockey was a preseason tournament. It was played in September. My counter to that would be, no, you shouldn't move it, because yes, the injuries suck, and they're very unfortunate, but I think what you saw in this tournament is that holding it when this was held was the perfect time to hold it, the perfect time in the sports calendar for hockey to get a share of the spotlight. NFL season is over. Baseball hasn't started. Even NBA is on break. They had their All-Star game, which was a disaster, and everyone hated the format and all that. If you put in September, you have NFL games going on. You have the stretch run of the MLB season. Like,
people might not even be thinking hockey
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, exactly. No. Like, you're not even right. And you're getting guys in preseason form trying to ramp up to this best on best level of play. Right now, you have guys in midseason form. So, yeah, the injuries stink, and that's just going to be a fact of life when you have these great players going all out like this. But I also don't, I just don't think hockey can pass up the opportunity that holding this tournament in February allows them. Like, it's just a tremendous opening and opportunity for the sport.
And then on top of it, the players don't want to lose more summer. When you do that, the best players that, like, they're happy to keep going through the winter, but now you're basically, they're the guy who wins the Stanley Cup in June has to come back to start of August. Like, that literally gets like 4 weeks off. That's banana land for the players as well. So couldn't agree more. You need to have this in the winter. You need to have it when there's eyes. You need to have it when people are thinking about hockey rather than in August, when the last thing I want to do is think about being in a hockey rink.
No, I like to take my vacations then too.
Yeah. So,
you know, in the Bahamas.
So it's all about me. Don't do it in August.
I have a vacation planned for then, so we can't do that. But no, they should have learned from what the numbers were, from what the conversations were.
The ratings were up 1,000% over the 2016 World Cup.
I mean, it couldn't possibly be more obvious that this was the right time to have it based on all of the numbers that we have. And the fact that even, you know, sports talk radio in this area is not a lot about hockey normally. Every single show when I tuned into it this week,
it was the lead story.
It was the main thing they were talking about. And it was guys, I'll just call out Jones because I like to, who said this tournament was going to be bad. And then he said, I was wrong. You know, he said, I enjoyed that Saturday game, US-Canada, with all the fights, and it was entertaining. And there were the Celtics people going, oh, yeah, this is way better than what we watched with the NBA. And this, there was, you know, all the people who normally just talk football, basketball, Red Sox, whatever, were talking about hockey. And there was a lot of attention on it. So, I mean, for me, I thought it was great. And now it's going to be, now it's hard to go back to regular season hockey. And it's going to be hard to go back to, because they're not doing the Four Nations every year. Like, it's the years that they do hold All-Star games instead, it's going to feel like a letdown. Because this is a, you know, a cycle. It's not just every time, which I hear people saying, oh, you know, they're going to do this every. Unfortunately, no. They still will go back to All-Star games.
There's an All-Star game next year.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I think we can say it's unfortunate that, like, there's not going to be something every year, but
it'll make it better.
Exactly.
If you did it every year, it's a disaster. Yeah, 100%. You can't have the same passion. You can't have the same. It would never be the same if you did this every year. It would flame out. Again, that's the problem with our entire world right now, is we do too much too often and overuse things and ruin things. So this is better when we get into the rhythm, because again, the Olympic tournament is going to be much different than this. It's going to be two separate things every 2 years. It's like Euro Cup and World Cup in soccer, two separate things altogether that everybody gets excited for. And that's what we'll have. And again, you're not going to have USA Canada every year. Like, the stars align for this one. And if we can just kind of get close to it and get into a good rhythm of best on best, we'll create somewhat of a rivalry going forward.
It was really the perfect storm.
But we all
wanting to root for that.
And again, it was 8 years ago that we saw this. So everybody forgot what best on best was. Everybody forgot about this. And that's what added to the explosion of it, because people didn't really remember. Next time, the expectation won't be met. You know, the bar is going to be so high for the next Four Nations, Six Nations, Eight Nations that it's hard to be, you know, hard to live up to this one. And the reason why this one was so great, because the expectation was so low going into it, from my point of view.
Yeah, and there are a couple things that whether it's the World Cup of hockey, or if they keep the Nations brand, like you said, call it Six Nations or Eight Nations or whatever, there are a couple things they can do to differentiate from the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Like, one, the obvious one is fighting. There's no fighting in the Olympics.
Yep. Well, and the referees. Like, the way the game just is called, period. Like,
yeah. Or not international hockey, Olympics tends to be called tighter. They really let them play in this tournament.
There would have been 10 penalties called in the final game if that's a gold medal game played that way.
And another option would be, all right, so if, say, U.S. and Canada are in separate groups, so, you know, maybe they're the top two seeds, you're not going to get them in the group stage. Well, the 2016 World Cup of Hockey had a best 2 out of 3 final. You could potentially do that. Like, then you, if U.S. and Canada get to the final, you guarantee yourself at least 2 games of it. So, you know, there's a couple different ways that this can go. Let's try Joe in Rhode Island here again. Jacob's on the phone. So, all right, we'll get Joe after the break. But
phone lines are buzzing. They're buzzing.
So to wrap this up, but yeah, I think, you know, in general, like, just a great tournament for hockey, and we can nitpick over like some of the changes we make going forward. But yeah, like the fact that there's an actual plan here to keep this going on a regular basis going forward is just so great as a fan of hockey, because like I said, like these last 9 years, the NHL pulling players out of the 2018 Olympics and then the 22 Olympics because of COVID, there had originally been a plan for a 2020 World Cup of Hockey that got first derailed by CBA negotiations and then would have been derailed by COVID anyways. Like, there were all kinds of reasons for why it didn't happen during that gap. But, like, the overarching takeaway is we all missed out. And
oh, yeah.
This generation, like, so many of these guys were doing this for the first time. So many superstars. Like, Reza, you mentioned that the Young Stars team, like, McDavid, Matthews, McKinnon, Eichel, like, they were on that Hellebuck. Young Stars team. Yeah, Hellebuck. Like, they were on that Young Stars team last time, 2016. So, yeah. This was the first time they got to actually, like, wear their country's jerseys in a best on best. And, you know, now, like, all these guys are in their prime. And for American hockey in particular, this has been seen as, like, the coming of a golden generation. And we've seen it at junior levels. Like, we all pay attention to world juniors. U.S. has had a lot of success at that level over the last 15 years. So, like, we knew these guys were coming, but they didn't have the opportunity to show it. There was no showcase for them to show that, like, hey, we've closed the gap on Canada, and obviously they want to prove that they're even ready to pass Canada. Came up short this time around, but, like, that adds to the intrigue going into next year's Olympics.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I always felt like we were so missing out when the NHL guys weren't at the last two Olympics. And what I will say, my last thing before we hit the break, is somebody like Jacob, our producer, like, you missed out. You only got to see the one Olympics with the NHLers, like you said. And some people that are even younger than you that are maybe teenagers, they missed all of it. Like, this is the first taste of it. And maybe these are new hockey fans now. Or maybe they're new, at least Team USA fans for when the Olympics come around, because it was an eye-catching tournament, and there's probably a lot of new fans that came out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to catch our last break here. We do have some calls on the line. Again, you can text us, 617-779-7937. We'll be back to wrap up Sunday Skate after this.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. Scott McLaughlin here with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Peru. Let's go to the phones here and take Danny from Quincy, who has a question about Four Nations. What's up, Danny?
Well, I'm just going to go into it now, Mr. Raycroft. I had to listen to the game on the radio. No disrespect to you, your colleague didn't give the score at the 7 minute mark in the third period, the 5 minute mark in the 3 minute. He gave the time remaining, didn't give the score. So please, just in the future. Now, I was forced to listen to the game on the radio, and I'm not trying to be a wise guy when I say that, okay? The reason why I had to listen to the game on the radio is because I don't have cable. I don't have TV. I dumped that crap 10 years ago, okay? The NHL dropped the ball by not putting that game on national network television. They carried channel CVB, WCVB was an ABC affiliate. They picked up the game on the Saturday night. They didn't pick up the game on the final game against Canada. You want to expand your audience? Get in more mainstream? Get people to watch hockey, which was a phenomenal event? Get it on national television. I was so disappointed. I'd just like to hear your thoughts on that.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Danny. Well,
at least you got to watch the Saturday game.
Yeah, I mean, look, ESPN is a huge platform for the NHL. They pay a lot of money on this TV rights deal. And part of it is they're going to, at times, try to drive people to ESPN and not always just to ABC. So that's the simplest explanation.
ESPN pays to get the games that they have. They're in like halfway through a 7-year contract, I believe, with the NHL.
Yeah, and also network television, their schedules are set so far in advance that they don't usually give up weeknights. Saturday night, they are more open and willing to give up. I do wonder, like, if ABC had known how big this was going to be, you know, do they plan on having it on the national network? But, you know, look, Danny, unfortunately, I think you're probably in the minority in that you don't have a way to watch a game on ESPN. I think most sports fans have ESPN or at least subscribe to ESPN Plus. I saw that it was the most streamed event ever on ESPN Plus. So, yeah.
Yeah, most people in my generation have ESPN Plus, as well as many other streaming services. But yeah,
it was probably on a TV somewhere.
Yeah, go to the bar.
Right, you can also just go to a bar.
Just take yourself out to dinner.
Go to the bar.
Order matzo sticks and call it a night.
Yeah, go to one that illegally. But that's all right.
I can't believe Cooley didn't mention the call. That's not something what a color analyst does. For the record, I do not have to name the score, and that's not on my radar. That is not me. So I'll mention it and pass it along. That's pretty funny. It made me laugh.
I wasn't expecting that to be the call.
No, it was great.
Razor, what was it like being on the call? Like that had to have been pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, it's funny because, again, I'll do it a couple months ago. And, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be great reps. It'll be great for me to do. I'll know all the players very easily. I do college hockey, and that's difficult at times. I have to really dig in and,
prep
like, oh, my God, okay.
Totally different.
You know, who's this on the third line? Who's this on the fourth line? Here, that's a non-starter. I know everybody off. So, yeah, I'll do it. It'll be fun. And then as it builds – and then Saturday night comes, I'm like, oh my God, this is actually like a real thing. And it's not just a rep that I'm getting. It's people actually might listen. And certainly the NHL radio will not want a screwed up finals call
pressure.
By myself. Yes. Yeah, so the pressure got high. And
it probably wasn't on you as much as it was.
No, it wasn't.
Play-by-play is like.
Yeah, the play-by-play guy is always most important. Us color guys, you know, I can just. You chime in with a goalie breakdown at some point and call it a night. So again, it was cool to be a part of, because otherwise I wouldn't have been there, right? Like otherwise I wouldn't have been up there on the ninth floor with you guys. I wouldn't have seen everybody all week. I would have just been watching on the couch. So it was cool to be a part of and something else I can say I did when I'm in a hole somewhere.
And not only was it
hopefully a long time
more than just a rep, it was like the broadcast people wanted to be on.
No, exactly. Yeah, no, that and that's what's funny how it kind of turned out that way. So I was really lucky. I was really fortunate that it turned the way it did.
Yeah, I think we kind of all went through that same process of like, how big is this really going to be? And I was definitely higher on it than like the true skeptics who were like, this is just going to be a glorified All-Star game. Like, I knew players were going to care. But even still, you're like, but are fans going to care? And obviously, the players' passion for this brought out the fans' passion.
Yeah.
Because you saw the best players in the world care.
You could trust physical. It, right? Yeah. Like, you could count on it. As a fan, that's really what everybody wants, is to trust and count on the players caring. And they got that, right? Not even Saturday, but like the first two games that were played, you're like, oh, okay, they're cooking and they're going. And then to get Saturday, it just absolutely emboldened all the fans.
Yeah, it does stink that there were players missing, I guess, like Tkachuk kind of played. But like it does stink that if McAvoy and Tkachuk were healthy, I think that would have even been more juice. Because can you imagine TD Garden when Charlie McAvoy's name gets announced to start the game, and you know, he lays a big check and everybody's believing in him and everybody's rooting for him. And I think there's a different element to that game if he's in and if Tkachuk is fully healthy. So I did feel like we missed out a little bit in that way, but other than that, great championship game. Not a great result for what we wanted over here in Boston. I mean, we're from Massachusetts, we grew up here. Razor's from Canada. I assume in Canada, there were a lot of call-outs from work on Friday. They might have continued to party into the night, because that game got over almost at midnight. We didn't leave until I left the Garden at like 1:15, got home at 2:15. You didn't even leave till after 2.
Yeah.
It was a crazy night.
Fun, though. I mean, you know, for us in this business, like, those are the games you want to be at, you want to cover, you want to write about, talk about. It was
awesome.
And
guess what? I got to talk to Sidney Crosby.
There you go.
It finally happened.
There you go.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week of Sunday Skate. Big week for the Bruins. Tuesday night, Toronto Maple Leafs coming in. That's going to be a big one. We will be back next Sunday at 9 a.m. Christian Arcand coming up next. Thank you for listening.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's the refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.